Well, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 27. We're going to get there eventually. Sometimes I get so blessed, so thankful, just thinking about what it is we have, what it is we know from God's Word. And I don't know that I really appreciate how precious God's Word is. It's cost a lot of men their lives to make this Word available, to be able to just read it like this. It's pretty awesome. And, you know, just to think of, you know, what life would be like without the knowledge of God's Word, I didn't want to think about it. You know, and just to have some understanding of how loving God is. You know, I'm sitting here watching Mark and Abram. Oh, you guys are praying. We've got a little bonding going on here. But, you know, Abram's just staring at him. Abram doesn't really know Mark that well. He just knows he can trust him. That's all he knows. He doesn't know much else. He's learning to recognize his eyes. And he'll light up when he sees him because he's deaf. Right? You know, and Mark doesn't know everything about Abram yet. Abram's going to grow. And I expect they'll be close. I imagine Mark would be willing to walk through fire for his son and do whatever he can to bless him and take care of him. And you know, Mark's a wonderful guy, but he's nothing compared to God. Right? You know what we heard in Manifestations? What God's done for us, what he'll do for us. You know, just how God set things up where we get to experience. And I'm almost in tears just watching these two, you know what I mean? I remember when my kids were little. And just to have that. You know, you're teaching them, you're fighting for them. You know, and then when God says stuff like that, it's like, oh, I get it. I get it. It's pretty awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, let's just close with prayer. Psalm 27. I wanted to spend a little time this morning considering some things regarding waiting on God, waiting on the Lord. You know, one of the, I think, more tragic things in our culture, and, you know, in every culture, the world's the world. And it's, you know, the adversary has always presented things to make it challenging for those who want to stand on God's Word, for those who want to walk for God. But in our culture, it's just because of some of the technology that we have, you know, you've heard the phrase instant gratification, right? I mean, we make computers that, you know, it's nuts how fast they are, and yet we want a faster one. You know, because we could save one more microsecond. You know, everything to just all the different technologies. I don't want to get into that. I'm not going to get into all that stuff. But the thing that has happened is, especially with some of the younger people, is a willingness to be quiet, a willingness to wait. You know, even reading. Everything is, you know, the young people are getting used to reading things in just a quick paragraph. What about God's Word? To read a whole chapter. How about a whole book? I think one of the greatest things parents can do for kids is teach them these things, just to learn how to wait, to read, because that's how God's chosen to communicate to us. And we're going to read this morning about waiting on God, waiting on the Lord. So why don't we get to that? Psalm 27 is where I'd like to start. Verse 14. It says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall," what? "Strengthen thine heart." Isn't that something? Then it says again, "Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, this is great because in this psalm, this psalmist had done just that and waited on God, and God delivered him. I want you to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 7 says, "Rest in the Lord." You know that word rest? It basically means, in this context, stay put. Stay put. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. Now this word wait and the word that we just read previously in Psalm 27, it's to wait with expectation. It's to look for something, expecting it. Okay? That's what it means. And here it says, "Rest in the Lord and wait" what? "Patiently." "Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." We rest in the Lord, we wait patiently for him. I want you to turn to another one in Psalm 40. And then we're going to look at a couple records in God's Word. It's really kind of amazing how much time God spends on this very thing that we're reading about, waiting on him. To wait on God is going to require some trust. It's going to require some believing. It's going to require knowing a little bit about who God is. Right? So you can trust him. You know, his faithfulness. Here in Psalm 40. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings." Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. "And he hath put a new song in my mouth." "He hath put a new song in my mouth. Praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear," or reverence, "and shall" what? "And shall trust in the Lord." Isn't that something? Here, he trusted God and got the deliverance. And because he trusted God, he got the deliverance. And because he got the deliverance, he praises who? He praises God. And then others see that, and then what do they want to do? They want to trust God. They want to wait on him. Isn't that something? That's what it's talking about. And then in verse 4, "Blessed is that man that makes the Lord his trust, and respects not," or he doesn't turn to, "the proud." You know, the proud, God doesn't have anything to do with the proud. That's right. See, God looks for those who are humble. The proud rely on what? Their themselves. That's right. "Blessed is the man that trusts in God," and he doesn't turn to the proud. He doesn't rely on the proud. He doesn't put his trust in the proud. That's what this is saying. Nor such as turn aside to what? To lies. Isn't that something? See? But he trusts in God. Now, I want you to turn. We're not going to read this whole record, but 1 Kings 17. There's so many places we could go to see examples of this. You know, I thought of Noah. you know, all that time in the ark. You know, in that record, and I think I've shared this with you before, how the waters had receded, and yet he still waited. I forget what it was now, another two and a half months. He waited until God said, okay, Noah, get out. Get off the boat. See? He waited on God. 1 Kings 17. This is a record about Elijah. In chapter 17, verse 1, it says, "And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." Okay. This is kind of neat because he had something to believe, and then he spoke it. This is exactly how it works. You know, in the Gospels where Jesus Christ says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and believes." Now, you have to understand in these records that believing is based on that which God has said. Do you understand? People get this mixed up. They get it mixed up. We'll see that in a few minutes. They get believing mixed up. And they think that something that's generated from their heart, if they believe it hard enough, you will force God's hand to bring it to pass. No. That has resulted in an awful lot of disappointment over the years. Believing is based on what comes out of God's mouth. Understood? Elijah had something to believe. God said, look it, you go to Ahab and you tell him it's not going to rain until you say it's going to rain. Now at this point, Elijah, we're going to see, doesn't know how long that's going to be. He doesn't know. He doesn't know if it's going to be a week. He doesn't know if it's going to be a month, 2 months, 6 months. He doesn't know. Just that it's not going to rain. So he does that. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be, that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. It's pretty wild. So he went, and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he what? Drank of the brook. Okay? This is something. You know, you got to think about this. We just read this record. We just read it. Picture this. He's got no phone. He can't text message anybody. There's no TV. Right? There's none of that. There's no Netflix. Nothing. Nothing. He's waiting. And what we're going to see as we go on this record, he has to do what he does and he has to be anonymous with it. Because we're going to see here in a minute, Ahab's after him. Ahab doesn't like Elijah. You know? They didn't have a good relationship. But anyway, verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now, this is something. Again, he's by this brook, running out of water. Then the word of the Lord comes. Now, go to this town, and there's going to be a widow woman. How am I going to know who it is? What does she look like? Do you understand? Just go. I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. That was the word of God to Elijah. Remember that as we read here. It's just kind of neat. And she said, I'm sorry, verse 11. Well, verse 10. I pray thee a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So he asked her for a drink of water. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and what? And die. Wait a minute. God, you told me that there would be a widow woman that would sustain me. She ain't got nothing. This must be the wrong place. Do you see that? You see how this works? Senses, forget about it. Forget about it. These records are in here for a reason. They teach us. They teach us what it is to walk with God, what it is to walk by the Spirit, how it works, the challenges that you face when you walk by the Spirit. See? We learn to wait on God. We just wait on Him. Now, at this point, we got a problem, right? This widow woman literally was making her last thing of bread to eat it with her son, and then they were just going to die. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fall, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Well, apparently he got a little information. See, really something. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Isn't that something? And it came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Now Elijah raises this little boy from the dead. That's right. It's really something, how he walked with God. But I want you to go down to chapter 18, verse 1. And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. That's how long this went on. This is in the third year, and what it would have been was the last full year of a period of time that we know to be 3.5 years. That's how long this went on. That's something. He waited. He just waited. And then it came. You know, when you think back how God so wonderfully and diligently tried to teach his people to rely on him and wait on him, the children of Israel. The children of Israel. Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Don't move until that fire moves. Wait. You wait. Doesn't matter if it's a year, you wait. But when that thing moves, the children of Israel would move. Say, wait. Manna. Right? You just wait on him. Provide that manna. If you gather more than what you need, what happens? spoiled. It turned rotten. Isn't that something? He was teaching them that he's faithful, that he's a God to be trusted. See? And that he's a God that we can wait upon. And he'll come through. He'll come through. And when you read these records in the Old Testament, that's what you see. You'll learn about your father. Right? Isn't that wonderful? And you'll learn he's faithful. And he really loves you. He really does. And sometimes when you get afraid, go to him. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Better get moving here. Acts chapter 16. This is sort of neat. Verse 1. This is talking about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He came to Derbe in Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. And him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. This is referring back to the council you can read about in Acts 15. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, this is referring to God, to preach the word where? In Asia. Here's a record where God told them what not to do. Isn't that something? Yeah, don't do that. Now, later on, did Paul go to Asia? Yeah. Oh, yeah. All in Asia Minor. In 2 years and 3 months, heard the word of God. But it was the right time. This wasn't. See? And after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit, what? Didn't allow them. Suffered them not. Don't. They wanted to. They wanted. That's what they wanted to do. You know, oftentimes saints, you know, we get in trouble because, you know, we have intentions, but our intentions don't always line up with God's intentions. They just don't. And sometimes what happens because we don't wait on God, we go ahead with our plans. And we thank God for bringing to pass what we decided to do. That's right. Abram's going to do that. He'll do that. He'll test his dad. He will. It'll be fun. But he'll learn that dad's right. He will. Just like we do. We learn he's right. He wants what's best for us. And we can learn patience. When we don't know what to do, then don't. It's okay. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after that we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Isn't that something? Well, the result of that was, verse 14, or verse 13, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was known to be made. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Isn't that something? They believed. They believed. It was right they were walking with God. You know, let's look at a couple. This, you know, look at Acts chapter 20. I don't want to spend a lot of time with this, but later on, Paul makes a decision that he's going to go to Jerusalem. And his reasons were really awesome, were very noble. He loved the people of Israel. And man, if anybody could get them to believe, it was him. The only problem is God didn't want him to go. That was the problem. But Paul wanted to go. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 20, I'm sorry, verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, except or save that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, testifies in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions, what? Verse 24, but none of those things move me. I don't even count my life dear. See? That I might finish my course in the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. I'm willing to lay down my life. It's noble. Right? Look at chapter 21, verse 10. And as we tarried there many days, they're in the house of Philip. Philip was the one back in Acts 8 that had moved the word so incredibly. Okay. Well, at this point, he'd settled down, had a bunch of girls, and Paul, on his way to Jerusalem with some others, is staying at Philip's house. Verse 10, we tarried there many days. And there came from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when he heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break mine heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but to die. Yes, yes, I'm willing to die. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying the will of the Lord be done. The translators put a few commas in there to make it sound like, okay, then the will of the Lord be done, because whatever happens is the will of who? No. There were no commas. The original. We see saying, the will of the Lord be done. It was God's will that Paul not go to Jerusalem. Paul what? Went to Jerusalem. And the rest of the book of Acts is pretty much taken with his trip to have to go to Rome. The book of Acts might have looked very, 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 very different if Paul had listened. But he didn't. But God's grace and mercy is so awesome. And how Jesus Christ continued to take care of Paul. And the revelation that he continued to receive. That speaks to how wonderful our Father is. But the result was, is Paul ended up in prison. Almost cost him his life. Isn't that something? What a wonderful, wonderful man. You know, God bless him. But he did it. His motives were right. But God told him, he sent a prophet, don't go. But boy, something. Anyway, so I guess that's what it doesn't look like. Let's go to Psalm 130. Waiting on God. You know, and this is something, and we're going to read it here, something we always want to keep in mind is that we want to wait on God. We want to learn to walk with God and get better and better at it. But you know what? There is a tremendous there's tremendous grace involved in this. How much grace? What do you need? That's how much. Right? Absolutely. God's pretty awesome. Sometimes he covers for things. He's good at that. But we want to get sharp and better at waiting on God, learning how to walk with him. Because it's a promise. I'll work in you too willing to do. That's what he says. Psalm 130. Oh, this is so cool. Psalm 130. Verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Ah! If you kept score, who could stand before you? Nobody. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be what? Feared or reverenced is really what it means. To be reverenced. There's forgiveness with you. You don't have to forgive, but you do. That's who you are. Verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. That's something. I don't know. Many of you maybe have never been up all night or had to do a night watch. But I understand this. You're waiting for sunrise. You're just waiting for that day to break. He says, I wait on the Lord more than they that wait for that sunrise. After being up all night. Isn't that something? And that's what it's like. Boom, you got light. You know, a great record. Sean did a teaching on this fairly recently. John 11, where Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And, you know, right at the beginning of that record in John chapter 11, he says, this is not going to end in death. This is going to end in the glory to God. That's something. Now, you know, maybe he didn't have all the details yet, but he knew this would end in God's glory. And after he'd heard Lazarus had been sick, he waited 2 days before he left. And you know what? He wasn't getting a lot of encouragement from his men either. Just like Elijah wasn't getting a lot of encouragement either. He didn't have a wonderful family to help him. Speaking of Elijah, he didn't have that. He didn't have this body of Christ. He didn't have saints to help to inspire him, to get him back. Isn't that something? He stood. He waited. Let's close in Isaiah 40. This is an awesome chapter. It's a chapter about God. Isaiah 40. We're going to pick it up in verse 25. This is God speaking. To whom then will you liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Who are you going to compare me to? Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. Anything that you're going to compare to God was created by God. That's what he's saying. We got a problem then. Right? Who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth or is missed. speaking of the stain, lift up your eyes, the stars, not one is missed. All are named by God. Placed and named. Isn't that something? What sayest thou, O Jacob? And speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not? He doesn't get tired. Neither is weary. There's no searching of his understanding. God doesn't tire out. He doesn't grow faint. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Isn't that something? He's the giver of strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know, I see these, Deb and I went for a walk yesterday. We saw this kid, I don't know, he's probably 16, running full bore. And there was a guy, his buddy was on a skateboard. And this kid just ran, and he outran the guy on the skateboard. But just ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and ran and ran. I mean, he just kept running. I thought, wow. Yeah, pretty amazing. Who are you going to compare to me? Kind of silly, huh? But it does make me look forward to that new body. Anyway. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength or their endurance. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk in what? And not faint. See? Isn't that something? We wait upon God. We rely on our God. We rely on our Father. That faithful and loving Father, who is always faithful, never gets tired, never runs out of strength, never gets sick of hearing from you. See, always forgives. Isn't that something? So, this can be fun, right? Absolutely. This can be fun. Walking with God. So, amen. I'll pray.